episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Eric Holmes. In today's episode, a centuries-old warrior fueled by magic lightning and a god-tier superiority complex faces off against a genocidal alien conqueror who treats planets like minor speed bumps all in the name of a galactic empire. In one corner, you have Black Adam, Shazam's main nemesis who went from villain to anti-hero, who represents his own form of justice while also rivaling the power of Superman. And in the other corner, you have Omni-Man, a Superman type of alien being sent to Earth to prepare and conquer the planet for the Viltrumite Empire, only to completely change his ways due to having a son who would become one of Earth's greatest heroes, a character named Invincible. As usual, I do the patent Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed, and this exact battle has been debated somewhat before here and there, but it's never come to a full decision in terms of which character would win until today, that is. Eric, I gotta know, what are your thoughts in today's matchup?
No, this one, it's something that obviously you only find here on the Who Would Win show. And with that being said, I won't say who I'm repping yet, but this is going to be a really fun one.
Yeah, that's true. Let's keep the mystery. You are repping Omni-Man.
Okay, so with that being said, as I rep Omni-Man, yes. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good. Okay, so yes. I got to ask you a question here, and this is interesting. What do you think of the Black Adam movie starring The Rock?
Not Ooh. Good.
Okay. This is why you lose so many fights and battles in the Who Would Win show, because
Even
you're
Rock
wrong.
Was pissed, though.
Yeah, because he was supposed to be the main character of the power. I have a theory about all of this, by the way.
He was pissed.
Yeah, I know, he was. He was really upset. I mean, but there's something, I'm telling you, as a producer, I kind of understand how some things work and all that. Okay. Little tweak here and there, and the Zack Snyder universe and the Rock being Black Adam and being the main, you know, kind of power and what have you, that could have been a thing, but we'll get to that later, because now we got to introduce our judge coming back for another episode. This is a celebrity within Los Angeles. This is someone who's known throughout the sports world, soccer world. You know, he just walks through hallways and meets people indiscriminately like he's known them forever or wants to get to know them forever. One of the two. You know who I'm talking about. It's the one, it's the only, it's the adult in the room. It's Tadeo. Tadeo, welcome back to Who Would Win.
You know, I'm just so excited to be here. I got to tell y'all, every time I show up on this set and I sit in my throne or the judge's chair, I feel fancy and it feels good. And I just want to tell everybody out there, if you haven't met James and Eric in person, they're real life superheroes. So I just want to give y'all that plug.
Thanks for the check.
That's amazing. Thanks for getting new rims for my car.
Yeah. Well, Thank Eric you. Took the money he used to bribe, I mean, influence you, I mean, asked you to dress up as him in our Halloween episode and decided to get you those new rims. But in terms of us being like real life superheroes, go on.
Oh, that's all I got.
Okay, that's fair. All right, so listen, here's the thing. I think if there weren't as many reshoots to Black Adam as there were, and the budget was going to be appreciably lower, which means it would be have an easier path of profitability. I think we could have had The Rock as Black Adam as one of the main characters in the none of the James Gunn universe. By the way, I love the James Gunn DCU. I think it's fantastic. Love Peacemaker, the series. Okay. Love Superman. I'm not upset by it. I really like The Rock as Black Adam. Plus, Hawkman and the other characters, Dr. Fate coming. I thought it was the ending. I thought it was good, but the rest of it I thought was absolutely fantastic. And if you disagree with me, you're absolutely wrong on every level, Eric Holmes. That's all I'm trying to say. Now, with that being said, we're both really up for this because Omni-Man is that Superman type of you know, character, right? And loving the Invincible, the animated series. I read the comic book as well. There are some differences between Black Adam and Superman and Omni-Man and Superman, Omni-Man, Black Adam. This isn't as clear cut of a battle as you would think it would be. Eric, what do you have to say to that?
Yeah, it's not clear cut because Omni-Man is on another level.
Really? You think he's on another level of the Black Adam?
For sure.
Interesting. Have you read any of the Invincible comic books?
Yeah, I was jogging yesterday downtown and I had one of them while I was jogging.
Did you? Okay.
Took a brief little glance at it.
Fantastic.
It was okay.
Yeah. I love to jog and read comic books. That's one of my favorite things.
Wait, am I the only guy thing that does that?
What's that?
Am I the only guy that does that?
I think you are, actually. I think you are. I don't know if that's a Philly thing, an LA thing, an Eric thing.
It's pretty cool.
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah. You were downtown. Did they try and jack you for your comic book? Because so you know, downtown's a little sketch.
So I couldn't look at the comic book is what I'm trying to say. So you
couldn't read the comic book. Oh, it wasn't safe. It was not safe. Okay. Yeah, safety first, fellas.
Safety first. All right. This is going to be crazy, crazy battle because, guys, I don't know if you know this. I kind of do a deep dive in all the characters I represent, and I went a little insane with Black Adam. Black Adam's one of my favorites. I mean, ultimate favorites of all time. And he's got quite the comic book history, which will be the version I'm repping. Now, actually, question for you, Eric. Are you repping the comic book version or the animated version?
I'm doing comic book version.
Ooh, interesting. Very, very cool. Okay. All right. I think this is about to be one of the epic classic battles of who would win. But before we get to all of that, we have to go over the basics of a who would win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the who would win match is a random encounter in neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, the bottom line in a who would win match is that for one side to get the win, their opponent must be somehow incapacitated for a minimum of 2 minutes where they pose no threat whatsoever. And before we get started, don't forget to leave the Who Would Win Show a 5-star rating and a fantastic written review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. And now let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Eric, please give us the details for Omni-Man.
Absolutely. So Omni-Man, born Nolan Grayson, this Viltrumite warrior came to Earth pretending to be a heroic protector and took the last name of Grayson only to reveal his true purpose, prepare humanity for subjugation or extinction, okay? Trained in advanced alien combat, capable of slaughtering armies, and unfazed by guilt or pain, Omni-Man is the definition of raw, brutal force with zero hesitation. As seen in an Invincible animated series, his combination of speed, strength, and ruthlessness makes him one of the most terrifying beings in animation, ripping heroes in half, flying through skyscrapers, and wiping out civilizations without a second thought. But he has a change of heart due to his son, Mark, a.k.a. Invincible, and now finds himself on the side of humanity. All right, so this guy got the whole package. The question is, does this make him more powerful or less?
Well done, Eric. And I love that question at the end. By the way, I personally think this makes him even more powerful because now he has something truly meaningful to fight for. Oof. As opposed to just like some cool ass mission. All right. Here are the facts for Black Adam. Mm-hmm. Once a slave in ancient Kandak, a really cool country, Teth Adam was granted the powers of 6 Egyptian gods, becoming a magical juggernaut and protector until his rage turned into something far more dangerous. He's not just strong, he's mythic. And he spent centuries perfecting his brutality, tactics, and sorcery. In the comics, he's a perpetual and constant walking extinction level event with no interest in restraint, who just happens to have the same powers as Shazam. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Tadeo, do you have any questions before we get started?
Wow, who's more ruthless? I'm sensing a lot of darkness in the room right now. Can we turn on the lights? It's a little uncomfortable.
Sure, but what do you think about the characters?
I was referring to the characters.
Some evil coming through here. And I like how you're looking at Eric by saying there's I feel a presence.
But also the darkness is, I was subjugated to seeing the Black Adam movie. And I have that AMC movie pass. Shout out to that. And even though I didn't pay for the movie because I had 3 free movies a week, I kind of did walk out. So I kind of almost emailed for a refund even though I didn't pay.
A refund for a free movie that you saw.
I don't know how that quite works, but anyway, as we go.
What's that running joke? I was watching the movie on an airplane. It was so bad, I decided to walk out kind of thing. Yeah, listen. Today, normally I respect everything you have to say, but not today. I'm not going to respect anything you have to say because you made that statement. I love that movie. I'm a huge fan of The Rock, by the way. But I can understand why there are some detractors. Mm-hmm. But good thing I'm not using the movie version of Black Adam.
Right, so that is off the table. I just wanted to share... personal experience that kind of marred me and scarred me. It was a little traumatic.
It scarred you.
Yeah, it's traumatic. I did buy the popcorn and hot dog, you know? So I'm in the hole like $20.
I mean, that's an investment.
Yes.
Like you need a return on your investment.
$20 or $200 like for a darn hot dog.
Popcorn is fine. A popcorn and a hot dog.
Dude, that's like getting into like monthly like medical costs, bro. Or like, rent down there in LA.
Well, I think if you eat popcorn and a hot dog from the movie theater, you do need medical.
Extra butter
for medical costs. Yeah. I'm not pointing fingers at any theaters, Eric.
This man eats a lot of footlongs.
And hot dogs. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't know what that is. Sorry, kids at home.
But he went through a very traumatic experience, and I think that was really, we got to give him, you know, his credit for sharing that with us.
Oh, right? My God. All joking aside, space. I saw a horror movie in the theaters. Someone told me to go, and I went, and it was the biggest regret, and it still jarred me. Like, seriously, it's, like, so disturbing. I can't get it out of my head. It scares the hell out of me, and it just creeps in at the worst times possible.
Mm. You've been there.
Yeah, Mamma Mia was horrible. It was just absolutely. The only thing more terrifying was Mamma Mia 2. Luckily, I smashed my head into a wall and had massive blood loss and went to the hospital.
Sounds like part two was worse.
And the funny thing, when I got to the hospital, like, oh my God, this person's had a foot long in a movie theater. It's just crazy. All right, but let's get on to today's battle.
I love it.
It's
love
awesome. It. Yeah. All right, Eric, hit us with your point number one.
And it took an X-ray of your head. They're like, oh my gosh, there's a foot long lodge.
Oh my God, this man's seen Black Adam. What's happening?
He has a foot long lodge in his esophagus. All right, let me stop. Okay, you can edit that out. Okay.
You can. Jeremy, keep it down, please. Yeah.
Please. Jeremy. Okay. Yeah. Point number one. Omni Man doesn't just punch hard. He demolishes anything in his way with terrifying momentum, okay? We see him fly through skyscrapers, mountains, fighter jets, and even cities using his body as a living missile that nothing can stop. He blitzes heroes like Red Rush, who himself moved at near light speeds with zero effort, literally catching him mid-sprint and crushing his skull. His aerial control, maneuverability, and insane durability mean that if he flies at Black Adam with everything he's got, it's like being hit by a meteor that fights back. The sheer kinetic power Omni-Man brings is enough to collapse buildings, snap spines, and leave no time for counterattacks. Because if you're not fast as him, you're already done. And in case you're wondering, he's just as fast, just as strong, just as durable. Not going to believe this, but today, it's going to be known today as Superman. But he's a lot more vicious. All that, James, my point number one.
Okay, so here's the deal. I'm going to push back really hard on something. First of all, hot dogs can be really good at movie theaters. Number two, the real thing is that I do not believe Omni-Man is as powerful as Superman. I don't even think he's in the same class as Superman. Superman is someone who can destroy planets, and Black Adam is in that range. I would say Omni-Man is like what I would consider a citywide threat. Like, if you had to hit really, really hard, he could destroy a city, which is awesome. He could then eventually become a continental threat, where if he's flying at full speed and just going through everything, that's cool. But to destroy a planet like Superman can, absolutely not. On top of that, what's really cool about the Guardians of the Globe, which is the approximation of the Justice League within the Invincible universe, all those characters are awesome, but they're just not as powerful as their Justice League equivalents. That's a thing. They're all kind of a step down. The reason for that, because they're based off the 2005 version of the Justice League, and that all those people have had like a lot of years to develop. Like, the Flash is now light speed. Right? Red Rush is near light speed. Flash is multiple times faster than light speed. By the way, Black Adam, he's one of the top 10 fastest beings in the DC universe as well. That's way faster than Omni-Man. Destroying a planet, that's something he has to control himself not to do when he's actually going on the attack. So I actually think Omni-Man is invincible. I think Omni-Man could hurt Black Adam, but I don't actually think they're on the same level. But let me get to that. So my point number one, magic punches harder than science. That's a scientific fact, I don't know. So sure, Omni-Man's absolutely fast, but he's never fought someone who fights with magic charge speed. That's just not a thing that's in the Invincible universe. Black Adam has matched Superman in flight. We saw that in Action Comics. I think it was number 831 back in 2005. Black Adam like easily outpaced jets. He blitzes multiple opponents in the Justice Society of America that has the Flash, and other super speeds or Supergirl, actually someone called Power Girl, who's Supergirl from another universe. And one of, the thing is, you got to ask yourself, what's the big difference between these two? Black Adam's power source isn't science, it's sorcery. I mentioned that before. That gives him a magical edge that Omni-Man has no counter for. Here's the deal. When it comes to just science versus magic. Magic has a tendency to win over because it just doesn't make sense how it's doing it. Science can be explained. Magic, not so much. On top of that, Adam doesn't just keep up with stuff, right? He's kind of like the Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball Super to Black Adam, you know, in the DC universe. So Black Adam strikes with lightning infused fists, which I'll talk about more. And this is his power. That lightning power disrupts even invulnerable opponents. He's battled creatures called the Spectre. And the Spectre, by the way, is a divine entity who represents God's vengeance. Has Omni-Man fought against God's vengeance? No, I don't think so. Black Adam is fueled by the gods themselves, specifically six Egyptian gods, gods who give him the equivalent of Superman's strength, durability, and speed. But unlike Omni-Man, who kind of stops there, right, with that impressive power relay, Black Adam just keeps going with even more powers and abilities, which I'll get to in my point number two. But until then, all of that was my point number one.
Okay. That was a pretty extensive point there, James. Seems like Black Adam thrives on purpose. That's what it sounds like in a nutshell. But Omni-Man obliterates anyone in his path without hesitation, okay? Compassionate strategy can't stop someone who will crush allies, enemies, and even family the moment he wants. Omni-Man's emotionless assault guarantees victory before Adam can react. So I feel that Omni-Man has more of the initial angle on Black Adam, that Black Adam cannot react in time. That's what I think the angle is for. No, even on the stuff, the points you made for Black Adam, very impressive. But I don't think that he's timely enough as Omni-Man is.
Interesting. You think Black Adam's more like, hey, I'll react. But Omni-Man's more like, I'll take action first. Right. Interesting. That's cool.
On offensive.
Interesting. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I see why you're making that point. It's a good one. But it doesn't matter what I think. Let's go to our judge. Today, you've heard one point from both Eric and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
You know, I'm seeing Black Adam. He ascended to this power from slavery via six Egyptian gods, which is an impressive feat. And obviously, that's divine power he's channeling. But so far, I mean, the emotionlessness of Omni-Man, that's something that frightens me when there's no emotions. I think Black Adam, having been a slave, could probably have more empathy and sympathy. So I kind of like Omni-Man has an advantage having no soul or good so far, besides potentially his son.
Interesting. Well, the sun definitely made him change his ways and come on the side of humanity, but it doesn't mean it got rid of all of his tendencies he had before, to your point. So this is an interesting battle so far. All right, stay tuned for point number two.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
And we're back. Eric, here's your point number two.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to get into this. So Omni-Man has literally fought armies by himself, not individuals. I'm talking about whole armies. And guess what? He's won. All right. Omni-Man's most horrifying strength is what he does to groups when the Guardians of the Globe, the equivalent of the Justice League, tried to stop him. All right. This is just an example for you all. He slaughtered all of them. War Woman, Crusher Skull, Darkwing, Slam to Paste. He even ripped through a superhero team designed to counter planetary threats in less than not 5 to 1 minute. Ripped through them all. That's in episode one of Invincible. Check that out. Then he also proceeded to destroy armies, drop entire jets midair, and punch through reinforced tanks like confetti in episode 8. Omni-Man also, he isn't just built for one-on-one duels. He's built to obliterate countries, okay, and eventually will destroy the planet. If this turns into a war zone between him and Black Adam, literally Omni-Man turns the battlefield into rubble and Black Adam into a smear on the wall. If the equivalent of the Justice League can't stop Omni-Man, what chances does Black Adam have to stop Omni-Man? And all that, James, my point number two.
So I like that a lot because Omni-Man, you know, what a great way to establish a character is super powerful. Have them take out every team, every being, everyone else who's really powerful, and you're clearly at the top of the food chain. Which, by the way, I wasn't describing Omni-Man, I was describing Black Adam. Black Adam has a very similar kind of story arc in that regard. In terms of viciousness and emotionlessness, if that's even the right word, Black Adam has a history of literally ripping super beings apart, tearing them apart, destroying them in the most horrific ways. You know, he went from a slave to a ruler and then just kind of lost his way, which is why then the wizard Shazam and some other, you know, high-end deities had to get together and kind of trap him for a while. It took like insane power to do it. But even then he came back to Earth, was a villain for a while. And then he's like, you know what? And he went to his home country of Khandaq and was like, this place needs a savior. This place needs someone to look after him. So that's his mission, not to enslave a country, but to keep his country, you know, free, so to speak, which got in the way of a whole bunch of other world powers who sent in heroes in after to get him. And they couldn't stop them, the biggest ones. But we'll get to that. So for my point number two, you know, we're talking about Iron Man taking on entire militaries. The difference is Black Adam really is the war zone himself. Iron Man might bulldoze armies. I got it. And Black Adam commands armies, by the way. In this comic book series called World War III, it was back in 2007. Black Adam takes on every major DC hero, Superman, Captain Marvel, which is Shazam, the Justice Society, which is like a Justice League equivalent, and so many more, and still keeps going. He's not a chaos engine like Omni-Man. He's order through annihilation is his thing. He's like, I'm going to instill my way. Omni-Man's here to kind of, fight for the Viltrumite Empire. And, you know, Black Adam's like, no, I am the Viltrumite Empire. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm fighting for what I want. In one comic book series, Black Adam levels an entire country, destroys it with rage and precision just because it got in his way. On top of that, he's also survived punches and attacks from Supergirl, Martian Manhunter, traded hits with Power Girl, came to blows and fought Superman a number of times. You want to bring a war? Adam, again, is the war. And he brings light strikes that melt steel, earthquakes with every storm, and centuries of battle expertise Omni-Man has just never encountered. And speaking of lightning strikes, remember, he's got this magical lightning. It's kind of a newer thing that Black Adam and Shazam can do, where they can shoot lightning from parts of their body. It's magical lightning. He can shoot from his eyes, his hands. He can make it emanate from his body. But he can also call it down when he says Shazam. And when he does that, he doesn't transform back into a regular human. He can control that as well. If he wants to transform, he can. But if he just wants to say Shazam, this magical bolt of lightning comes down and gets weaponized, and it's like an area of attack that it destroys. It's really, really cool. And he can control that and point it in different directions. With this, by the way, he's badly hurt Superman. He's badly hurt Wonder Woman. He even defeated this lesser known being. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. It's being called Death. He beat Death. Now, Death was this magical, he used magical lightning. He was this being from the planet Apocalypse, but he was kind of like a godlike being. Eric, quick question. Has Omni-Man beaten Death before? Yeah, I don't think so. All that's my point number two.
Okay. All right. So this guy's beating some people almost equivalent to what people Omni-Man is beating, right? Almost. But it's a hesitation, my friend. Hesitation. Ever heard of it? Not with Omni-Man, okay? He doesn't hesitate. Black Adam still seems like he's like a little, kind of a little overthinking in his head, like a lot of people in society these days, right? So hear me out, okay? Listen, Black Adam can call on gods and all these different, blah, blah, blah. But Omni-Man is a storm. He is a storm, okay? One blur of motion for, of all people, Black Adam, the fight's already over. He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't think. He erupts. That's what Omni-Man does, okay? Before Adam's lightning ever flashes, Omni-Man already left a smoking crater where a god used to stand, James. That's my rebuttal.
I like it a lot. Again, Black Adam's way faster than Omni-Man. And, in terms of viciousness, would you want to say Black Adam's more vicious than Omni-Man? I actually think there's an equivalent there. In terms of fighting skill, I know they've both been training forever, but one of the powers that one of the gods that Black Adam taps into gives him wisdom and combat ability. So I know Omni-Man's got like centuries of all that, but yeah, it's not God-infused combat ability on top of 5,000 years of experience. Now, but none of this is important as well. I keep getting to this. We got to see what the judge has to say today. We've heard 2 points from both Eric and myself. We're at the turning point. So tell us who you think is ahead and what does the other side have to do to win?
Well, Black Adam defeating Death itself. I know it's not the death that we'll all face hopefully in 60 years, but I was intrigued that he's able to deal with these celestial beings. But I need to ask more about this Supergirl and Wonder Woman. He's absorbing blows. Is this like, is he a lover or fighter? Because, you know, he said something about Supergirl was beating him up.
No, so what happened was, and by the way, Supergirl is insanely vicious, and Superman has a problem fighting Supergirl.
Oh, she's not kind.
She's not kind. In fact, Supergirl has a problem. It's a really cool storyline. Supergirl has a problem because Superman holds back and gradually increases power because he doesn't want to hurt anyone. And Supergirl she already starts at the top level. And that's a problem because she could accidentally hurt someone, kill someone, or what have you. That self-control isn't quite there for Supergirl the way Superman has it.
So it sounds like the woman in L.A. I date. So Supergirl's
Like, remember when I turned the corner and you were crying in the fetal position? I said it was going to be okay?
Yeah.
So whoever it was that
thanks for saying. James had to save me. A little intervention. I got caught cheating. No, that's okay. Okay.
So the terms like when people are hitting him, it's because he's fighting groups of people at the same time. Okay. So if he's fighting on Superman and all of a sudden Martian Manhunter, who might even be more powerful than Superman, is hitting him, he's tanking those hits while he's taking on someone.
Okay.
So that's kind of like, you know, and again, Wonder Woman is probably like the greatest warrior, per se, of DC Comics, right? Mm-hmm. Badass, whatever. If you can take punches from her, hits from her, while you're fighting other beings, that shows your overall level of badassery.
Okay. But I'm very interested in the Omni-Man bringing about a storm. So I wonder, you know, what makes me curious and what is impressive so far is we've got somebody who ascended because of the gods. We've got Omni-Man bringing about storms of that are capable of destroying planets. So this is right now, we've got a battle. It could start at a city, a state, a country, but it could end up destroying planets. Yeah. A little concern for the world.
Yeah.
It's a thing. So who do you think is ahead? But
so far, if he's taking blows from Wonder Woman, Black Adam has a slight advantage because, you know, women can get quite aggressive too. And I've seen Wonder Woman do her spins. Yeah, by the way, the original Wonder Woman was quite strong and beautiful. Right? You ever been a kid? Wow, that was my first crush. I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, listen, you're just revealing you got great taste. Yeah. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, you got good taste.
That's all you're doing. We can do it now. All right, there you hear it, Legion of Audience. Let's see what happens. Stay tuned for point number three. And we're back. Eric, it's now or never. Hit us for your point number three.
Here we go. All right, so listen. Zero emotion, zero mercy, all right? Omni-Man's greatest advantage, okay? He doesn't feel like a hero. He doesn't hesitate. His own son couldn't get through to him until after a 20-minute planet-shattering brawl that left thousands dead, okay? Black Adam may be ruthless, but he has compassion, and compassion can be exploited. Let's keep it real, okay? Omni-Man, on the other hand, has killed allies, innocents, and family without blinking, okay? That emotional void lets him go all in from the first punch. If Black Adam hesitates, that's one thing I keep emphasizing, even for a second, Omni-Man capitalizes, okay? And in battles like these, there's no time for honor, just pain. And all that, James, my point number three.
Okay, interesting point, and I'm glad you brought up pain, because here's the deal. It's not that Black Adam doesn't feel pain. It's just that he's got a healing factor, right? It's a magical healing factor. Omni-Man heals very quickly, but if he gets like an arm torn apart or internal organs like ripped out of him, they got to kind of come back in. This is going to take him days to heal up from, at least a day to do so. So in terms of who's going to recover faster, magically infused Black Adam will recover way faster than Omni-Man. In terms of viciousness, again, this is Black Adam, someone who has no problem going at full speed and just cutting through people very, very easily. He's killed, you know, his friends. He's done very similar things that Omni-Man has, but again, just way faster, way better on a much bigger scale. Now, let me get to one more thing about Black Adam, actually. And this is something I've been holding back. So in terms of durability, not just healing power, durability, it's a fact. And Omni-Man can hold his breath in space for like probably weeks at a time, right? Which is really cool, and survive space. Black Adam doesn't need to hold his breath, doesn't need to breathe, doesn't need to eat or whatever. He can just go wherever he wants. He's fine underwater, whatever. On top of that, the durability is really interesting because when Black Adam gets close to the sun or goes in the sun, he's absolutely fine. Omni-Man, however, spoiler alert, can't take the sun. The moment he gets in the sun, it's not like he just turns into dust, whatever, but his skin starts peeling off. It's very clear he can't take it. He can only stay in there for a short period of time before eventually even he gets torn apart and, you know, incinerated. Not the case for Black Adam. Just putting the durability kind of in task here. Now, my point number three. Hesitation, you ask, you say, Eric, Adam's never heard of it. Black Adam isn't Superman. He doesn't pull punches. If anything, he's the one who hits first and vaporizes questions later. In Black Adam, Year of the Villain, back in 2019, he wipes out waves of enemies without hesitation. He's executed gods on the spot, incinerated demons, and killed without blinking, but he does so with purpose. Unlike Omni-Man, who snaps under pressure, which we saw when he was fighting his son, Mark, and all of a sudden he's like, and just takes off because the emotional outburst just kind of throws him. Black Adam actually thrives in it. He's endured psychological trauma, betrayal, divine punishment, and come back stronger every time. And you think emotion makes him weak, ask the entire DC universe how many times they failed to put him down. The answer is always too many. And Omni-Man has some interesting wins, but Black Adam has beaten Shazam, Wonder Woman, Martian Manhunter, who again may be more powerful than Superman. And he's even got a win over Superman himself. See, the real difference is that Black Adam has the power of wisdom from enriching God and combat knowledge and over 5,000 years of fighting experience. As great as Omni-Man is, he doesn't have what Black Adam has. All of that's my point number three.
All right, so this is what it is, okay? Adam may have had these victories, okay, and he may be able to command some armies, okay? But my main point is that Omni-Man is the war zone, okay? Literally, Omni-Man is a walking army, okay? One virtue might could turn a battlefield into rubble, demolishing squads, everything, jets, tanks, all that alike. We already talked about that. But listen, raw destruction isn't just chaos. It's precise. It's an unstoppable force. Adam can't counter what he can't touch.
Interesting stuff, but none of that matters again because we got to throw this to the judge today. You've heard 3 points from both Eric and myself. It's time for you to make a decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Omni-Man and Black Adam.
This battle right here is of two tyrannically strong individuals who have perhaps too much strength for their own good. What entices me and excites me about Black Adam is his emerging from a slave, from the least powerful individual in terms of having the ability to do things, to six Egyptian gods. However, we have this Omni-Man, Mr. Nolan Grayson, who is a mutant. So by virtue of that, he never was weak. So I kind of see him as somebody who didn't have the empathy and sympathy from his inception. So I'm very impressed with Black Adam, you know, taking the barrage of punches from Supergirl and Wonder Woman. But how I see this battle unfolding is as such. Omni-Man ruthlessly, emotionlessly, with zero compassion for humanity, begins to attack Black Adam. And Black Adam, you know, as quick as he is, basically as fast as Superman is what you're sharing, can avoid some of the punches. However, Omni-Man encompasses the whole city and turns into a war zone. And Black Adam, because he was a human, because he was a slave, because he feels this empathy for others, he's frozen. Not by the strength of Omni-Man, but the extinction level event that could destroy all of humanity and those around. And in that moment, by pausing, and I know that he can recover and his healing factor is incredible, but I feel he'll be subjugated to weakness and rendered by a full speed and barrage of Omni-Man's punches with just emotions like tyrannical insanity because he's trying to protect those around him. So I feel the prevailing factor is Omni-Man's ruthlessness, and Black Adam only loses because he's trying to protect Wonder Woman, Supergirl, and the others from this extinction level event. So in the end, Omni-Man wins not because he's a better warrior, but because he has no honor. And that's how the battle ends. In this moment, he's incapacitated for the 2 minutes. I don't know what would happen in 2 days.
Interesting. I got to tell you, do disagree, but I can't disagree completely. Because here's the thing. If Black Adam now, if there's even one person that Black Adam cares about in a city, and Omni-Man decides to do something where that person, you know, is going to get hurt or whatever, mm-hmm. would Black Adam try to save them? Like, would Vegeta do that? The answer is possibly yes. Mm-hmm. So I can't conclusively say I 100% believe you're wrong. I disagree. I think Black Adam's powerful enough to take the damage and keep on going. And then with the magical lightning and everything, mm-hmm. hit him from afar at super speed. But I do understand and value your logic behind this. But again, I completely disagree. So, but with that being said, Eric, congratulations on this win. How do you feel getting this crazy victory?
Well, before I feel, how do you feel about taking that L, first of all? Then I'll get to myself. How do you feel?
I don't feel good about it. Not going to lie. Don't feel good about it. I love Black Adam. I felt I repped him really well. I felt you did not rep Omni-Man that well either. And I feel like I was battling the judge today. And, you know, Tadeo, you're a worthy opponent. Not going to lie.
And, well, you also were battling. You were also battling. Don't forget. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, and the performance that I didn't. Now, I wasn't putting that on the judge's table, really? But in my subconscious, I'll be honest, I'm still upset about my getting my refund.
Do you still kind of, you know, taste that hot dog?
I do, and it wasn't a good one. Oh, you
know? It wasn't even kosher.
That's, you know, I need my kosher food.
Oh, my God.
I got in trouble with my parents for that.
Oh, that's horrible. All right. So, no, I don't feel great about it. But, Eric, how do you feel with this win?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, Black Adam, yeah, I mean, worthy opponent in some regard. But, like I said, all of Omni-Man's background, you know, his upbringing and everything, to Tadeo's point, I think Black Adam will have too much of that little, you know, soft spot to try to save humanity, help out others, and Omni-Man is just ruthless, doesn't give a damn. And on top of that, he's a very powerful person. So I feel very good about this victory. I feel like I well represent Omni-Man, and I represent him so well that our unbiased judge made his choice and chose me as the winner. So I feel good.
Just trying to say, so he dresses up as Eric Holmes. Tadeo dresses up as Eric Holmes for Halloween. Then is like, oh, I've got bad memories of Black Adam, and I can still taste that horrible hot dog I had years ago.
Nothing to
interesting
do with me.
Perspective from our judge.
Nothing to do with me.
All I'm trying to say is, you know, it's intriguing.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know, I'm an impartial force over here, or so I try and be.
Yes, and Omni-Man was well represented, so there you have it.
Very cool. All right, I actually love this episode. Again, I love the most is that when I disagree, but I can understand the logic of the judge and kind of see that they have a point, which is the case for today. All right, with that being said, today, oh, great job yet again as a judge. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
You can always find me in the streets of L.A., mayor of Beverly Hills, cruising around town, and online at Cuerpaso, Cuerpaso. Look forward to you reaching out.
Very cool. Eric, congratulations on the great win. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
Yes, all of my socials online are at D-T-H-E, Eric with the C, Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S. Let's connect.
Very cool. You can find me on X, a.k.a. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Eric Holmes, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.